Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sandera Mendez, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, and R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. So tonight's topic is going to be about Freestyle Friday, and the topic is, why do people, quote unquote, love to hate love? Now, this is inspired by five movies that I've watched, and I'm pretty sure for my listeners, you may have watched these movies yourself. So this is basically inspired by one particular show called Them. It's an American horror movie, and it came out 2021. So, along with four other movies that I'm pretty sure we all are familiar of, which I will mention in the show later on. So, I know many of you are wondering why I, quote-unquote, the host, Sandera Mendez, chose the topic, why do people love to hate love? And once again, I chose this topic simply because the bias and prejudiced views of people who form tacit assumptions on individuals or groups of people as a stamp of condemnation. I think the movies that I were inspired by to talk about and give reviews, I think it had this strong connotation of the enslaved versus the enslaver and the haves versus the have-nots mentality. And I think that generally these quote-unquote connotations will ring deep in the minds of the unliberated souls out of ignorance. So, this means racism, quote-unquote, is a mere reflection of the love and hate that resides within us in measures and degrees. Self-hate and self-sabotage are the most deadly of them all because it deliberately destroys oneself and one's image and identity and one's purpose here in this world. I believe generational curses as well as generational wealth exists in this world on a cycling base. For example, so-called white people are automatically privileged because of the color of their skin and the content of their character. However, on the contrary, so-called black people are looked upon as less fortunate or criminal-minded, or because of the grace, the authentic and natural grace and power so-called black people hold that is unspoken of but felt entirely by many generations of people in different nationalities. So language, signs, symbols, and synchronicities have always been our ancestral roots, where we innately had this from the beginning of times. And so-called black people knew love as something given, nurtured, and taught amongst the balance of both masculine and feminine energy since the beginning of time. And once again, so-called black people knew no evil, seen no evil, heard no evil, but somehow was corrupted by the greed and wickedness of Western culture. Okay, so barbaric in nature and brutal in punishment, as far as the Western culture. I say all this to say people love to hate love, especially when they don't understand power and royalty in its highest form and vibration. So-called white people are tortured by their inner complexity and privilege in this world, and the so-called black people who feed and feud into the destruction and deceit of these people are only reflections of their hate, so-called white people hate. It don't matter what financial status or position you have in this world, you will always be seen as a little you and the big I. Meaning, so-called black people is the little you and so-called white people are the big eyes. So remember this, in my opinion, followed by 5 movies I've seen and will have to share my reviews on such films. And thank you in advance for all my listeners for taking the time out to listen to the memoirs of her. And I hope that you guys enjoy the show. So, the 5 movies that I wanted to talk about were Get Out, which came out in 2017. The Us film, which came out in 2019, and Bad Here, which came out in 2020, and then we have Karen, which came out in 2021, and then, lastingly, the episode, it's not even a movie, called Them, American Horror Movie, came out in 2021. This is the meat of the show in which I wanted to talk about. But I'm going to save the best for last as usual. Okay, so how many of us seen the movie Get Out? I know a large number of us had seen this movie Get Out. And once again, this came out in 2017. It was an amazing movie, American Horror Movie, and it was written and directed by Jordan Peele. And the starring actors and actresses was Daniel Kaluuya, Allison Williams, Bradley Whitford, and Katherine Keener, and Caleb Landry-Jones and Stephen Root. And it was produced by Blumhouse, Universal Pictures, Monkey Paws, and QC Entertainment. However, this movie was so amazing. Jordan Peele, you are brilliant. I mean, you made the movie Get Out and Us, and we have a current movie that's out called Nope that talks about the UFOs. I can't wait to see that movie. However, Get Out and Us was amazing, but we're talking about Get Out right now. And I feel like the key theme and thought of the movie was centered on slavery and the old houses back in the days. For example, the plantation that was where the filming took place was on Armitage Estate. And I feel like the message in the movie is so broad, but yet so simple as far as an explanation. Like, everybody gets it as far as the brainwashing effect, which I want to talk about, and how the soul swapping taking place, and how so-called white people want the strengths, you know, want the skills of so-called black people, and, you know, certain elements from their bodies, their genetics, wanting their genetics, like, strip them from it, and they'll go to any extreme as far as kidnapping to get what they want. So this movie was so freaking amazing. So when I talk about the brainwashing effect, it's one thing to, you know, had that that jungle fever, whereas, you know, so-called black people and white people are in romantic relationships and they just gone, you know, with the black so-called fever, you know. So from having that attraction and maintaining a relationship, it showed some of that in the very beginning of the show, as far as you know, them, you know, showing them as a couple, you know, interracial couple, and how, you know, the different ideologies of, you know, when the guy in the movie was gonna go meet her parents, and he had so much concerns about meeting her white parents and stuff and what they were gonna think. And it was just so crazy. But it just goes to show, it was a program, it was a scam, and it was something that she was, you know, doing as far as dating so-called black people, and even her own sex, her own kind, to get what it is that she wants. So it's like she was a scam artist, con artist, and she was getting, you know, into relationships to lure these people in to cause a brainwash effect, to where, you know, they get hypnotized, you know, go under this hypnosis. And basically, the person who knows how to do the hypnosis is in control of the person and takes advantage of them as far as having them think that they are a so-called white counterfeit of the person, and they take on the person's genetic, the energy, and everything. And I just was like, wow, this is so freaking creepy, you know, how the movie was going, especially when they showed I think it was Brad Whitfield. They showed him walking in the very beginning of the movie, how he was just minding his business and talking to the girl, Catherine Keener, and how he was just, you know, indulging in conversation and just seeing this weird car coming from out of nowhere. And then he kind of like, he had his little instincts like, nah, I'm in a, you know, suburban area, and I'm the only black person here. And he like, damn, he already knew he was on point, because he was from quote unquote Best Side, Brooklyn, New York. He already knew, like, nah, I gotta get out of here. Like, so he tried to, he walked the other way, and sure enough, this person kidnapped him, and you know, you all know the rest of the story. I mean, the movie, right? But just that in itself, that was like, wow, that was so creepy. But it just shows how they go about certain things step by step. And even though it was just a movie, that could probably be happening in real life, you know? But anyway, the brainwash effect was to just have, you know, the so-called black people in the movie thinking that they were the family lineage. They wanted to keep the family lineage going on. And they had them thinking that they were their relatives, or the people who kept their organization or corporation strong, had them thinking that they were these people. It's almost like they took, like, their spirit or whatever, something like took over the person. And which I'm gonna, it's gonna lead me into talking about soul swapping. Like, in that hypnosis, it's almost like the person astral project. They leave their body, or they locked inside their mind somewhere, you know, like a compartment of their mind. And this whole essence of this entity is taking over their body and their whole life and everything of that sort. But, you know, I just feel like it had an element of black magic in it as far as soul swapping, because the person is still alive, but the entity or essence, the spiritual person's essence or energy is inside of the person. So that entity or that person, you know, is able to experience everything that that person is, you know, going through and things of that sort. For example, I feel like, I think it was Daniel Kaluuya. He's the one who was the next person up to be hypnotized, but I don't think it worked 100%, because it shows that when he was under the hypnosis, all of the activities and things were happening to him. But the fact of the matter was, when he kept scratching the chair, that was like a portion or a percentage of, you know, him trying to hold on to his consciousness, even though his consciousness, his mind was slipping away, and he could feel his body slipping away from his body and having this kind of like out of body experience. He could feel it, but him scratching the sofa is what kept, like I said, a percentage of his consciousness going. And this is why the hypnosis did not work 100% on him. As far as the elements and the process of it, yes, her hitting the mug cup and things, yes, it had an effect on him, because that's how she started with him. So yeah, that's how, you know, he was the next host that was up. And I feel like they had this whole thing where they did, like in slavery, how when they won a slave, they put them up on auction, but instead of doing that, they used their picture as though they were gonna die. Like, you know how when you go to a funeral, you have the memorial of the person's picture? They had that there, and was doing this whole betting and this thing going on where they was betting on the person and seeing who would get the highest bet of the host that they were getting ready to transform or go through that transitional phase. And as far as being a part of their corporation, and it was this blind guy who couldn't really see, and he wanted the guy's eyes. because he felt like he was very talented. And according to the movie, you know, Daniel Kaluuya was a photographer in the movie. So he was like, oh, I want your skills. I want that. And he literally wanted his mind and his eyes. And they were going to actually take this kid's eyes out and his brain and swap brains, like literally, and probably get rid of his body or soul or whatever the case might be. I don't know, but it was not executed correctly. It just showed how in the movie how he just went into survival mode. And you know, forgive me for those who did not watch the movie. I do recommend you to go watch it. It was a very amazing movie. You know, but for those who already watched it, you already know what type of time it is and what I'm talking about. You know, how he went to survival mode and was just like, you know, fighting. He did not care. He knew that he had to take care of himself. He already knew what time it was. He put two and two together. It wasn't like he was slow. He caught on to things quickly, you know, and, you know, as he went along with it, it's like it was a lot for him to process in that moment. So just even in the soul swapping, like I said, it was a form of black magic, because the guy who was kidnapped in the very beginning of the show, which was, I think, is Bradley Whitford, he was kidnapped in the very beginning of the movie, and it shows how he was with this older lady and how he's a younger man. And you know, when the kid Daniel Kaluuya spoke to his friend in the movie, he was telling him about it, how, oh, remember the guy from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York? You know, he's his whole vibe and his essence is something strange about him, because he's acting all like he's whitewashed and stuff like that, like he's not acting himself. You know, so his friend was like, oh, yeah, he probably a sex slave, this, that, the third. Yeah, they probably got him in bondage or something like that. And it was just, it was a little sense of humor, hilarious, but it was still an American horror movie. And I feel like at the end of the day, you know, when Daniel took a picture of his, the guy, what ended up happening was that the picture triggered him to get out of the trance. And out of the whole, you know, hypnosis, and his nose started to bleed, and his friend started to get back to merge, like get back into his body and everything. And he screamed to Daniel Kaluuya as a way, I feel like this was the meat of the show. He told him, he was like, get out, like he screamed at him. And you know, Daniel probably was like a little bit confused. His character was a little bit confused. Like, why is he telling me to get out? Is he angry? Is he upset with me or whatever? But he was just like, get out. Even though Daniel was getting all of these views and signs and everything that he needed, something was not right going on with her family, the people that they associate with, he already knew. But then he seen his brother and he like, he telling me to get out. And then he seen, you know, recently, the beginning of the show, which was so weird, another brother who had the soul of the grandfather running, like running crazily, like just in a weird nuanced way, because he went to go take like a smoke, a cigarette, and he just seen him running towards him and then run I don't know what the hell he was doing, but he was just running so fast, and it scared him because he's standing there like, why is this motherfucker running towards me like this? And, you know, It was just a weird experience. So from that's what triggered him. That was like a domino effect of weird things happening, and you know, then having fast forward to having, you know, Bradley tell him to get out. He like, okay, he knows 100%. Like, he was on 99%, he's on 100%, like something is not right. And then they seen after everything had simmered down, you know, I feel like the lady who's the ringleader put him back in his hypnosis, and then he came back apologizing to everybody and back into the state of the so-called woman's husband, even though he was a young so-called black man. Okay, so yeah, talking about soul swapping, I feel like it was a form of witchery and black magic going on as far as that whole dynamic. You know, people, you know, manipulating energies, you know, manipulating, you know, forces and people is just not a good vibe, you know. But to each his own, right? So I feel like now I want to talk about the kidnapping to grooming the individual, which, you know, follow behind, you know, the whole process of them being hypnotized and, you know, following the lifestyle, you know, the essence of the person previously, even though the person is dead and gone, they're not in their physical body or element, you know, but their consciousness in their body is still, you know, ringing through the host of the so-called black person's body, you know, and they living vicariously through them. But, you know, instead of doing it vicariously, they actually able to experience the feeling, the thrush, you know, everything of, you know, the genetics of the so-called black person that they kidnapped or who was taking their body parts in order to live, you know? So, yeah. And then lastly, the genetic transfer, as far as, you know, it's one thing to groom the person into what they want them to do. It wasn't so much as far as the grooming, because being that they had the consciousness of the person previously, the other person, the entity, already knew what to do. So the grooming part didn't really have much. It was more or less the hypnosis of getting the person to transfer, you know, from out of their body into, you know, a unconscious state. So it's like they locked somewhere in their mind while this host is taking over their body and things of that sort. This entity, while their body is just the host, excuse me. So, like I said, the genetic transfer, they able to experience, you know, as far as when they showed the guy running in the movie, you know, he was able to experience the rush of speed of how fast, you know, so-called black people could run. And, you know, that to me was almost like a genetic transfer in itself, even though it wasn't like biologically or, you know, surgically done. It still was like a indirect transfer because they still able to experience it, you know? So that movie Get Out was so freaking amazing. And I recommend, you know, you guys to go watch it. It was scary. It was creepy, especially for a so-called black person watching it. Like, you'll be yelling through the whole movie, like, no, oh my God. Like, it was just so cool. You know, it was like borderline racist, but borderline humorous and funny at the same time, which was perfect, you know? So, Jordan Peele, like I said, you are a wonderful and amazing director, and you know, your whole script was dope of how you written the whole, you know, movie and manual, you know, so shout out and kudos to you, Jordan Peele. And then, you know, now that we're talking about Get Out, I wanted to talk about Us, the film, which came out in 2019. That's another creepy movie. It was American Horror, and once again, the Pop King, written and directed by Jordan Peele, and the starring host, the actress and actors were Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke, Elizabeth Moss, and Tim Heidecker. And it was produced by Jason Blum and Ian Cooper and Sean and a whole other list of people that I don't have, you know, here that participated in the producing of the Us film, excuse me. Okay, so I feel like the key theme of this movie was centered on the haves and have-nots of society, in which Jordan Peele does say that the movie is about the haves and the have-nots. The only thing about this, however, is you see a double ganger, someone who looks exactly just like you. They were like the opposite. So it's like you have the regular middle class people who just living their life as a family, you know, on a vacation, and then this weird thing happens. Like, it's like a sort of like a zombie kind of like slash, like, apocalyptic movie going on with people double ganger, and they all, like, you know, just under this this zombie, you know, side, and you know, they kind of like primitive in a way. That's what I wanted to say, very primitive. So they show the people opposites as, you know, not a part of the society, the mainstream society, and the people looking at they double dagger like, oh, finger. Like, what the hell? Like, what is going on? So this family, I feel like it was a so-called black family. And, you know, like I said, it was a sense of humor going on in there. I loved that movie too. But I feel like what spoke more of what reigned deep was classism. And classism was more or less that, you know, stood out to me because of how it elaborated on the middle class and how, you know, each person lived their life, especially, you know, they showed the so-called black family and then the white so-called family, and how if you look at their house, the whole dynamic, even though they were on a vacation and this was a vacation home, you could see the dynamics of the home were different. You know, when you looked inside the so-called white family home, it was more big, more spacious, more, you know, everybody in their own place, more mansion vibes. And then when you look at the so-called, you know, black people in their home, it was more like a cabin vibe, you know, giving off cabin vibes. And then they showed how, I guess, Winston Duke, the actor, how he went to go get a boat, and he couldn't afford the full price of a nice, you know, plastic boat. So he could only afford what he can, and he got the boat, and, you know, it was for his family so they can enjoy. So that's why I feel like classism spoke more about, I mean, to me in this movie as well, because it showed that he couldn't afford, but he still went to the extremes and measures to have a wonderful vacation with his family, you know? So that was, you know, why I said, you know, I thought it was like a little bit of classism going on. And then I feel like there were an inner complexity going on as well. And I say that because of with the young girl in the movie with the so-called part of the so-called black family, you know, when she strayed away from her family and she just, you know, ventured on into this mirror place where they said you could find your personality or found, you know, your soul, something like that, find yourself. That's what it said in the thing. And she went in there and it was a whole bunch of mirrors, and she actually seen another person, her double, her ganger. And what happened is that they swapped, you know, they swapped from position. So it's like the real girl went inside the afterlife. I don't know what the hell that was. And the person who was the double ganger came out, and, you know, when she was found, her family, you know, noticed something strange and different about her. They thought that she was scared because something happened to her and she stopped talking, but not realizing that this was the double ganger that they were raising. While the young lady, the girl was stuck like in the mirror, like the afterlife behind the mirror, whatever the case might be, and she had to live and adopt that whole primitive lifestyle behind it, not knowing what the hell was going on. You know, while this other girl, she just kept this whole connotation of being, you know, quiet, antisocial, and, you know, abnormal to their mother and their father. She was indifferent towards her mother and father because she didn't really know them, you know. So there was a kind of like an inner complexity going on as far as personality and identity crisis, because, you know, the parents knew that this wasn't their daughter and it wasn't like her, and they were in fact right, because it was a swap. And then it just shows how this double ganger went on to live her life and had children, had babies and things. And it's like at the same time, in a dimensional world, like behind the mirror, the afterlife, the same effect was happening as well, going on with the real life, you know, person, you know, the young lady that grew up into an adult. You know, so that movie was amazing. And for those who watched it, I'm pretty sure you guys are following me and knowing exactly what I'm talking about. But they showed the little girl growing up into an adult and her having a family, which was the so-called black family in the cabin, and how they lived their life. And it's like, it just showed where it got to a point to where she started out at is where they ended up back again, as far as when she was a little girl and, you know, going through that whole transition of finding her double ganger and knowing that they were going to meet and it was like an apocalypse was going on or taking place between them. They were warring with each other. So it's like as the doppelganger progressed in life, the real life person was progressing as well, but she was losing her corporate ability as far as speaking, sensory, and things of that sort. Okay, so if that makes any sense, I don't mean to make your head dizzy. You have to watch the movie, and if you didn't watch it, once again, I apologize for, you know, explaining the movie, but this is a movie review, and you have to watch it for yourself in order to really and truly understand the dynamic of, you know, the inner complexity that was going on, you know, because it was like a hate and disdain for the doppelganger, because it's like she stole her life, you know. So it was like an inner complexity thing going on. And then as I said, that it was like classism going on as far as, you know, different societies of people. And I feel like the people that were in the park also was experiencing a weird way their doppelganger in a different dimension. I say afterlife, behind like the mirror. It was like things was going on, and you know, a whole different life, a primitive life was going on aside from the regular real life of the people, like in the amusement park. Okay, so it just shows how at the end of the day, everybody were the same. Everybody had a criminal, primitive, and zombie-like mindset, and they were just killing all of the regular people who were living their life in the social mainstream and things of that sort. So this is why I talk about the differential aspect of society and things of that sort, how everyone just became one zombie killing each other in the movie, you know. And as I said before, I feel like the families were, in the beginning, illustrated the American dream, you know, being able to afford the luxury of going on vacation, having a good time with their family and things of that sort, and sticking together as a family. You know, I still feel like the have and have not really spoke out more in that movie for me. And it was, in fact, the American Horror Movie was interesting and amazing. And I loved it. I liked it. Like I said, I can't wait to watch Nope film, which came out in 2022. And I'm pretty sure that is just as amazing as his Us and Get Out. You know, so I'm gonna definitely go and watch that movie as well. And maybe I may give a review. I don't know. But I just feel like it gives off UFO vibes. I like it. And, you know, the actors, I feel like Daniel Kaluuya, he's playing in that movie as well. He's starring as one of them. And it's a host of other people, you know, that's playing in the movie. And I think that it's going to be dope. Plain and simple. So, now that I talked about Get Out and Us, I wanted to talk about Bad Hair, which came out in 2020. It was also an American horror movie. And it was written and directed by Justin Simien. And starring in the movie was Zaria Kelly, Corianna Messiah, and Ella Lorraine. Those were the people who were starring in the movie. And, I didn't really get who it was produced by, but hey, it is what it is. The movie was great. It was great. It was awesome. Okay, another person, the director who written a script that was amazing. And I feel like the key theme in that movie that spoke out to me was beauty in the eyes of the beholder and at the expense of the American standard of beauty. Okay, and that's what stood out to me more, being that I'm a so-called black woman, and you know, understanding the complexity of the woman in the movie, Zaria Kelly, how she went through the different phases of having her natural hair and then having this, you know, being introduced to sewing hair weaves into your hair to make it straight and nice and, you know, attractive to mainstream society. So I can understand, you know, how she felt going through that transitional phase in order to keep a position as far as in corporate office and things of that sort, you know? So I feel like the key thing to me, and which also was about the movie, was image of obsessed world. You know, how people are so caught up on superficial, you know, appearance, you know, beauty and things of that sort. Like, people don't really like natural beauty as much. Not a lot. I'm not saying all people, but most people are just superficial to the point where they just like their outer aesthetic to look alluring, to give off a message that they either are beautiful or they can afford certain things. You know, it's just an underlining message that people give when they try to keep up with the Joneses or try to keep up with society. It's an underlining message that they speak that's unspoken of, that people will automatically know. It's like a social norm, or, you know, social etiquette that people know when it comes down to, you know, this image obsessed world. So I feel that in the movie there was an inferior complex, because the woman is showed how Zaria, she was comfortable in her natural state of hair. She was nice. She was, you know, she was very creative and skilled in her position. And before there was a change of management, she was working on getting promoted. And it's like once her management changed, you know, the new manager required other things of her because they wanted her to host a TV show, and she had to look up to par. You know, they didn't want her in her natural state of hair, you know, like having her natural kinky curly hair and her hair up in a bun, or, you know, it was, to me, the way she had her hair was beautiful in the movie when she just had it up and had it curled. It was very professional and nice, but that wasn't enough for the new manager that came in. She wanted her hair straight and a part of the superficial world in reality. Okay, and this was like in the 1980s as far as the movies, you know, timeline, right? So there was an inferior complex. So she felt that if she wanted this promotion, that she had to change her appearance to look up to par, not only just, you know, being able to fit the qualification, the requirements of the job, but her image had to go along with it, with her pay. And then it also showed how she was having issues with her landlord as far as paying money. And it just shows how, you know, women are taken advantage of. Like, it showed how her landlord, you know, would, you know, push himself on her, and push himself meaning try to give sexual advances to her because if she didn't pay on time or something like that. And how back in those days, landlords used to knock on your door to try to get your rent and stuff, and they used to have the keys to your house, which was so freaking creepy. But they would have the key to your house to get in. And, you know, in this situation, she had to deal with the dangers of that because she was a single woman and having to dodge and, you know, dodge him until she get all her rent. So at times, you know, it showed how she was a little bit late with her rent and, you know, having a little conflict with him. And, you know how some people, to keep the person hush-hush, they will have, you know, sexual, you know, encounters with the person to keep them hush-hush and to keep the prolong of them paying rent. Some people do that, you know. And I guess in her situation, she didn't really want to do that unless she had to. But In the whole compromising state, you know, state of mind and situation, it just showed that there was an inferior complex because she wasn't naturally in her power. Although she was advancing, you know, she still needed time to still have some type of stability in her life, you know, which I gathered from the movie. And then it shows how society opinionated views can have such a strong influence on people of how they dress and, you know, how they interact in their social settings and things of that sort. And it's almost as if her friends were doing, like, getting hip to the whole fad of having a sewn-in hair weave and things of that sort and looking different. And it was just so much shenanigans going on. And even she tried to influence, you know, her friend who was strong and to have a natural hair, but she was easily converted into wearing a hair weave, you know? So, talking about the demonic possession part, that was like the the freakness of the whole movie, in which makes it American Horror, because it's showing how there's a lineage of this hair weave that the women were sewing into their hair were linked to witches, you know, back in the days, and how this, you know, this young girl, you know, wanted to have straight coarse hair like her enslaver, as far as, because she was a slave girl and she wanted her hair to look like the other little girl hair straight, and she went to go into the woods to get this tree that mimics straight hair, and she put it into her hair. So it just shows a whole little like a story that was going on, and how Zaria was reading a book as the actress and getting the history behind it, and it was showing how, you know, the hair will bring the whoever sold the hair weave into the hair, put them into possession, like a demonic possession, into killing people or reaping havoc on people and things of that sort. For example, in the scene, it shows, you know, her having another issue with her landlord, and this time her landlord had got really pissy drunk, excuse my French, and he thought it was okay to come into her house, even though she had company and things of that sort, and be sitting in her room like all willy-nilly, like, come on, how you just sitting in somebody's house like that? So he comes to her, she's surprised and that he's sitting in her room, and he tries to cause sexual advances towards her, like make sexual advances towards her. And, you know, at first she was going to indulge in it and do it, because maybe it wasn't her first time. But then the hair took over and started to do something to the guy, and they ended up killing the guy, even though it wasn't her per se, but she was under possession and ended up killing her landlord, and voila, he was dead the next day. Nobody didn't know what the hell was going on, what happened. And, you know, it showed a clip in the movie where they was taking his body from out of the building and said, oh, he must have got drunk and fell off the roof. Oh, well, but I feel like it was this girl that there was another black girl, so-called black girl. They were having a conversation. She was like, yeah, he was a creep, you know, wasn't always trying to, you know, take some sexual advances towards me and everything, whatever. And I guess, you know, he just was a pervert, you know, and this is what they were talking about, having a discussion. She didn't really say too much. She just left it as that. And that was the end of that story. So, going from the demonic possession to social acceptance and rejection, I feel like today, into today's society, we all still have a choice whether we want to be natural or we want to be something that makes us feel comfortable. You know, at the end of the day, I still feel like people care what other people think, and those people who care about what other people think are caught up into, you know, the mainstream society. They caught up into that have and have not lifestyle, or trying to stay up and live with the Joneses, and trying to make it seem like they can afford certain things. And sometimes that's just not the way to go, but to each its own once again, because in this world it's about whether you're going to be accepted or rejected. And sometimes, a lot of times, people's authenticity is not really accepted in society, because sometimes it's seen as weird or eccentric and things of that sort, and they don't really mesh and merge with society views, especially considering that people's personalities are different, because you have introverts, extroverts, and ambiverts, and people who have social etiquette and knowledge and how to interact with each other and things of that sort. And then you have other people, groups of people, who still have, you know, certain personalities as far as being introverted, extroverted, but don't have no type of mannerism or skills or how to be socially equipped with one another. So, you know, I feel like, I say all this to say, in the movie, it just shows how she had to flow with society accepting her and her being accepted in, you know, groups of you know, cliques and people and things of that sort, and on her job to keep her job. So yeah, so that was an interesting movie. And you know, I feel like, you know, so-called black people, women should watch that movie because it's very interesting. And it just shows, you know, gives us some type of knowledge on, okay, we know that if you sew in here, weave into your hair, that it's not your hair, but it's, this hair is coming from someplace else, especially if it's human hair. You know, it's coming from someplace else. And, you know, I understand that there's synthetic hair. Sometimes it's synthetic and human. And sometimes it's just straight out human hair. And you sewing these things into your hair. And, you know, between the hair wigs and sewing it into your hair, it's just, you know, a crazy, like, you know, thing, dynamic going on, you know, just in my opinion. But I feel like people have progressed, you know, to hair wigs, to where now they just put the wigs on their hair and it just look like a seamless wig, like it's their hair. So it's like no more sewing, no more having to go through that pain. But at the end of the day, they still have to go through that phase of, you know, putting the wig on their head and braiding their hair. And then it's like you have to take the wig off. And especially when it's in the heat, you're hot. I know your head be on fire with them wigs on your head. Like, oh. So, yeah. So, it's like beauty is pain, right? Not to even mention. But, yeah. I know that, you know, some of you women here be on fire. You know, when y'all outside of y'all thinking y'all cute, and then the edges be lifting and shit, and, you know, excuse my language, and you see your wig and stuff, you gotta pat it back down, keep putting glue, like, come on, like, you know, that's just my opinion, you know, natural is beautiful, that's just my opinion, natural is beautiful. Okay, so now that I talked about Bad Hair, that movie, which came out in 2020, I wanted to talk about Karen. How many of us watched that movie, Karen? Oh my God, that came out in 2021. Instead of this being an American horror movie, I feel like this was an American racist movie. Like, oh my God, how entitled this woman was just out of this world. Was crazy. Crazy. Like, crazy. Like, I'm not even saying crazy. Crazy. How she was just acting. Like, come on. So it showed that it was written and directed by Coach Daniels. And the people who were starring in the movie was Tyrone Manning, Corey Haddock, and Jasmine Burke. They were the starring actor and actress in the movie. And it was produced by Autumn Bailey Ford, Tyrone Manning, and someone else. But I didn't really get all of the information to put in. However, I was just lost of words as far as the key theme of the movie. It just showed that this was an entitled so-called white woman who just felt like, you know, these so-called black people did not belong into her neighborhood, and how she just had this tacit assumption that, these people don't belong here, and they're gonna make they were criminal minded and things of that sort, and how she turned the moat into a whole big thing. Like, you know, she just blew things out of proportion, you know, made it seem long and drawn out. She made up shit about things that didn't even happen in the movie. And it was really, 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 really crazy. It will have you like cursing at the movie. Like, who does she think she is? If you were a so-called black person, you'd be cursing at the movie. Like, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm, that happened before. You'll be in that kind of vibe. And of course, so-called white people will be like, yeah, I understand how she feel. Yeah, I know that. Ignorant so-called white people will be like, yeah, agreeing, you know, haphazardly. But it showed that, you know, Karen, you know, her real name was Karen, you know, which was a scene in the movie where so showed the so-called black people having a conversation. And, you know, I feel like the guy in the movie was explaining to his friend, Corey Haddock, about how he experienced this same woman in a restaurant, how she lied on him, talking about how he was loud and disgruntled and got him kicked out of the restaurant. He was explaining that to his friend. And he was like, what's her name? And he was like, Karen. He's like, yeah, I know she a Karen, but what's her name? He's like, her real name is Karen. He was like, oh, shit. Like, he didn't know because it was just a joke in itself. You know, because everybody associate Karen as being, in latent terms, as being a nigger. You know, so-called, you know, excuse my French, but they just think that that's what that means whenever a so-called white woman is called a Karen. That's what they basically saying in latent terms, okay? So, it showed that this woman showed her self-entitlement, showed that she was privileged, showed that, okay, her white skin could get her in places, but it showed in that movie not so, you know, especially with all this technology going on and things of this sort, people being recorded, you know, so, that showed that whole self-entitlement did not go to so much, you know, trickery and things of that sort. Even though she was the head of the community board or something or whatever, there was a mayor, a part of where she lived at, that had more ranking than she did. And, you know, because of her poor character, her poor personality, she tried to lie on these boys that were so-called black and Latino, I guess. And they were just having a good time, you know, hanging out. And she lied on them saying that they were, you know, doing up to no good and stuff like that. Literally lying. And the whole time the kids were recording her and what was happening and saying that they didn't do anything. So they were making fun of her because they know that she was a crazy entitled racist. So they just put her on camera. And then sure enough, because Karen's brother was a part of the police force, he was down with the whole prejudice and, you know, bigotry, you know, mindset of not wanting so-called black people in the neighborhood. And he would go along with what she talk about and try to get these people, like, wreak havoc on these people and get them, you know, into a lot of mess and crap, you know. So, like they say, what goes around comes around, and what people do in the dark will eventually come to light. It showed in the movie how everything just made a U-turn when the girl, I think Tyrone Manning, she was in the area, and she also showed how the police were treating the so-called black boys with brutality. And she recorded that as well and brought it full circle. And what ended up happening is that the her staff that she was a part of, as far as being the president of the community board, they knew that she had poor character and that she was a racist, and they didn't really want her on their board because they didn't like that. So they told her that she had to resign from the position, especially because of the videos were going all on social media of how she treated them. And then she tried to be entitled with them, and it didn't work. She had to get her ass on out of there. So that's how karma works. She got fired from her position, and sure enough, her entitlement didn't get her that far. And I'm pretty sure you all have watched that movie, and you've seen a lot of bigotry and prejudice going on in that movie as well. And it showed about the social disparity, how so-called black people could come into, you know, so-called white neighborhoods and not feel welcome. Meanwhile, you got people that's living in Brooklyn, New York, and you got so-called white people coming and gentrifying the neighborhoods, but no, you don't have no so-called black person making them feel uncomfortable or feeling like they life is in jeopardy or not safe, they not safe or whatever. You don't have them making them feel that way, and you don't have no people just making false calls on people because they hanging out outside or whatever the case might be, having a good time. Like, you don't see none of that stuff going on here. You know, you see, you know, so-called black people who lived in Brooklyn, New York, Bed-Stuy, New York. We know the love of Brooklyn. We know it. Okay, and, you know, even though these people may come and gentrify the neighborhood, at the end of the day, they don't know the love that was originally here. You know, so at the end of the day, nobody made them feel uncomfortable. And it showed in the movie there was a social disparity because they wreaked havoc on the so-called black couple, this family, for no apparent reason, especially One thing that I did not like in the movie is when she's telling these people how and what to do with their garbage. And it was one time it got so crazy to where, because he didn't have his garbage on a certain day, she kicked down his garbage and stuff like that. Like, I mean, come on. That is niggerish shit, like, for people to do. And it just shows that in the movie. And it just, you know, you will get, I'm telling you, if you a so-called black person, you will be cursing her out in the movie. Like, be, like, who you think you are? Like, you be wanting to punch her in her fucking face. That's how I would say it, you know? So, it showed the social disparity, and it wasn't fair, wasn't, you know, right with a lot of things that she did, but at the end of the day, it showed that it all boiled down to mental illness, that this girl, Karen, had a mental illness along with her quote-unquote brother, who was a part of the police force. There was a mental illness going on there. You know, they may not have been diagnosed, but at the end of the day, something wasn't right upstairs. Okay? So it showed that. And then as far as throughout the movie, you see the bigotry, the prejudiceness, yes, of course, but you also see the racial displacement and discrimination as well going on. Because let's say that there wasn't no video, let's say there wasn't no no cameras going on or whatever the case might be for proof, nobody had no receipts, and she lied and she said this thing, do you know they would cause so much trouble for the person? They go through the system and everything all because this person lied, you know? So just imagine if people didn't have their receipts of what could be going on with so-called white people reaping havoc on so-called black people for no apparent reason, because they love to hate love. Point blank, period. Okay, so at the end of the day, now that we winding down, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, not movie, but episodes. It's 10 episodes. It's an American horror movie, and this is the grand of it all. It's called Them. Came out in 2021. I'm not sure who it was directed by, but I would say that it was very creative, but also very triggering at the same time, as far as how the element of the movie took place and how this was another so-called black family in a white neighborhood, and it showed how during the Great Migration in the 1950s, how black people were starting to come into white neighborhoods, afford to live in white neighborhoods, and live their life accordingly, you know, like they were deserving of what they worked hard for, you know. So I feel like this was a working hard middle class family, and they were in a white neighborhood that were not as approving of them. And I feel like the starring actress and actor was Deborah Ayarende, Ashley Thomas, Shahadi, and Wright Joseph. Those were the starring hosts in the movie. I'm not sure who it's produced by, but at the end of the day, like I said, the key theme of the movie was that it was during the Great Migration in the 1950s, and the key word here was diabolical system of racism. Okay, I feel like Karen was just a number 7. But when you watch this movie, Theme 2 2021, that came out, this is a 10. Like, the racism was off the market, off the scale. Like, it will make so-called black people feel very uncomfortable. It will be very triggering for, you know, so-called black people that lived in that time and that day. They will feel like it's not, you know, appropriate. There was a lot of inappropriate things that happened, but at the end of the day, it was still real life. Like, things that actually happened, you know. And even though it was like a reminder, and it seemed like it's like digging in the old wound, at the end of the day, that movie spoke so much hatred and violence. It spoke a lot of alter ego complexity, struggle within the struggle. And then it, you know, prime example of racism. And of course, there was a lot of prejudice and bigotry going on. And of course, there was a Karen in the movie who got kidnapped and a whole lot of things going on. But I feel like who was directing the movie, it was, if I could have gotten their name or whatever, I feel like it was a person who, I think of Chinese descent, who directed the movie. I'm not sure who written it, but at the end of the day, and it was a so-called black woman who directed the movie as well. And I'm pretty sure whatever she directed in that movie spoke a lot. Like, whatever she did through the actors and actresses, because I know she had to, like, implement that part for them to bring that character out to life. But at the end of the day, it just showed the how all, even though all of the racism was going on and taking place, it showed that it was American horror going on, because it showed that the house was haunted. Like, something was going on inside the home, and they had to deal with whatever spirit or demonic spirit that was in the home that was possessing them, and then have to deal with their wicked ass neighbors, so-called white neighbors in the neighborhood. So between that and then having to live their life comfortably, it was just crazy. So like I said, it's the theme. I mean, excuse me, the theme was about the Great Migration in the 1950s. And there was a total of 10 episodes of them, okay? 10 episodes of them that came out in that movie. And they should be having another season coming out next year, for sure. So that took place. And then I wanted to talk about the hatred and violence as far as, you know, the social disparity within the workforce, how the father was not, you know, invited. Well, he was invited, but kind of like bashed from coming to a setting, you know, meeting the CEO of the company. You know, his boss didn't want him to come or whatever, because he was the meat of the one who was skillful at what he was doing or whatever. So he just wanted to introduce himself to the CEO, but his boss didn't want him to. But he still introduced himself and still ended up coming to the event. But that just goes to show about the social disparity that's going on as well. And then, which I felt was really disgraceful, is when a girl went to school and how all of the children were calling her monkey and treating her so wicked. Like, I just feel like that movie is just so, like, distasteful. I won't say disgraceful, but distasteful when you see certain parts of it and you like, what? Like, mm-mm. And she was the only girl. It's not like the only so-called black girls. It wasn't like there was another black family or whatever the case might be, or other people, whatever. She was the only one. And just imagine her going through that, and she felt hurt and broken inside as a result of that, I'm pretty sure. So it showed that, it spoke the hatred in that and the violence that took place as far as fighting and, you know, all of that thing is going on, you know, because I feel like eventually people will reach their boiling point, okay? And then the alter ego complexity, I feel like the father in a so-called black family, how he had this alter ego where the guy, he was like a monkey slash clown in the movie, and it's like his alter ego telling him to do evil shit, like evil stuff, and it was like, it was just crazy. Like, he was like the devil's advocate in the movie, and I'm like, every time I seen him, I kind of just like laugh. Like, I understand that's what people be going on when they have like that angel and devil on their shoulder and trying to keep them sane. And I just feel like he was just that protagonist of the character that kept the person like, are you going to punch this motherfucker in his, excuse my language, in his face, in his mouth, or are you going to keep walking like a little, you know, a little punk or stuff like that, like something like that along the lines of that, you know, example of how he will provoke the character in the movie. And then a struggle within a struggle, meaning although this this so-called black man in the family. He could afford that house, afford to be in that neighborhood, and afford for his family to live a luxurious life. He still was struggling to be accepted, struggling to be, you know, looked upon and respected as the so-called black man that he was, you know. And then not only that, but his wife and his children experienced that. And the younger girl, I feel like she was gangsta. The baby, the girl in the movie, she was real gangsta in the movie. She really spoke her mind. She called the ace, a spade, a spade. And I like her. She was spicy in the movie. I like her character. So all throughout the movie, I feel like it was racist. It was not a moment where, you know, there was no harmony or anything of that sort going on. No, it was not. And if it did, it was amongst the so-called black family trying to keep themselves strong and uplifted, you know. So yeah. So with that being said, I wanted to say that those are my thoughts on the movies that I've seen. Once again, it was Get Out, Us, Bad Here, and Karen and Theme. Those were amazing movies and episodes that I've watched, and I do recommend you guys to watch the movie yourself and get your own view and knowledge of it and your own entertainment from out of the movie as well. And hopefully next time you guys will be able to you know, share it amongst your own social group and setting of what you think of the movie. So with that being said, I thank you all for listening to tonight's show. And also, I want you guys to be aware, FYI, that on Tuesday night, starting in August 1st, to the ending of the month, which is August 31st, 2022, for the whole of next month, I will be going live on Tuesdays. So you guys will want to stay tuned. And of course, I'm going to be talking about feminism, because I think it's very important to talk about it to a degree for people to have some type of knowledge, to be educated about it. So this is more, you know, conducive for so-called, you know, women. And men can also enjoy it as well. And young adults, you know, young men and young women can also listen to it as well. But I am going to be putting my footwork into researching about feminism, what it's about, and to bring it to the forefront and let you guys, put you guys on about feminism, feminism and what it's all about. I know I talked about it previously in this month. For one of my topics, the difference between being a feminist and being feminine, I talked about it, but this time I am going in depth. I'm going deeper. So you guys will want to stay tuned. And yes, once again, on Tuesday nights, I am going live. So I will be having people host with me on the show. And you guys are more than welcome to call in, and I will give a call-in number on Tuesday nights. So with that being said, thank you for listening to The Memoirs of Her. Bye-bye.